Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bong. James Bong.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass to Mars.
I feel mean. The name's Earth.
I'm your huckleberry.
We see we cut the Kit Kat and haul.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for November 9th, 2020. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And we got a ton of stuff to dive into this week, but unfortunately, just like last week, we have to kick things off with some sad news. We lost another legend, although not like a cinema legend, but just like a general kind of pop culture legend. But Alex Trebek unfortunately passed away after his battle with cancer. It's been like a year or so, or like at least a couple, like it's been like
a year and a month. Like almost 2 years.
Yeah. But yeah, very announced it publicly. It has been very public about battling it. Was it pancreatic cancer, I think?
Yep.
Yeah, so unfortunately, yeah. He's been alive for 2 years, but unfortunately passed away last weekend, at age 80. And, obviously Jeopardy, and then a lot of his, movie and TV appearances are, if Jeopardy appeared on a movie or TV show, he'd make it a cameo appearance.
And even if it wasn't, just straight Jeopardy, if Alex Trebek was in it, he was just, the host of a game show of Jeopardy caliber.
I feel like, it's usually... pouring one out for Alex Trebek, Chris?
No, I was pouring into a glass and I made a lot more splash. But yeah, pour one out for AT.
Yeah. Any favorite, Trebek appearances in, come to mind, Chris?
Yeah, Simpsons, where turns out he's, a shakedown guy.
Yes.
You owe money to Jeopardy if you are in the negatives, which is funny.
What was the quote? He's like, I asked you if you understood the game before you started, Marge, and you said yes.
Yeah. It's, you owe us $5,000.
Yeah. On the flip side of the get coin, also, his Family Guy appearance. Trebekzilla. And it's the only way to send him back to his own dimension.
Then the other one I think is Cheers. That was the most intensive,
That was a big one. Yep.
Yeah, that was another Trebek is just Jeopardy.
Where Cliff goes on Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just White Men Can't Jump is also a very big Jeopardy subplot. Because Rosie Perez is like trying to get on Jeopardy. That's her whole subplot.
Life goal.
Yeah.
I feel like there is another movie where I feel like the Leslie Nielsen one, Naked Gun or Scary Movie, where there's a random Jeopardy in there.
Probably.
It's memorable but forgettable. At the same time, it's Jeopardy, and they're all right, they just forget that happened. In a movie,
there was a rare appearance where he appeared, he wasn't a game show host in the X-Files, he was a random Men in Black.
Really? Who was the host or something?
He wasn't a game show host or anything. He was just a random man in black who showed up, and then Mulder's you look familiar.
Yeah, I'm right now on IMDb just looking at at Trebek's long line of just himself. Yeah. He was the narrator in High in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He was in he was Alex Trebek in three different kind of shows where he just played himself.
I'm trying to remember what was he was the co-host of like one of those like insane like Disney specials in the 90s. Like it was some sort of like, I just remember it's like on that Everything Is Terrible like movie they made, where it's just, it's like it's some sort of special where it's just constantly there, it's like always constantly talking about like fairy dust. Oh, the fairy dust, the fairy dust.
You know, that's one of those things where it's really hard to just pinpoint when that happened, because those are just promos that you don't even know, that I don't like listen to IMDb correctly.
I feel like that was like a maybe early 90s one. Yeah, but yeah, there's like entire like just run in that like Everything Is Terrible movie where it's just like everyone just is like say like it's just like every time I say pixie dust, it's just like it's like 20 times. The pixie dust.
I think in order to look that up, you have to go to IMDb and look at
like himself.
Yeah, like self. And then it's just 192, but it blends in with his acting roles where he does play himself mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And half the time it's just him like as host of show or something. Yeah, he was apparently one of the TGIF announcers back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And then again, host of Wizard of Odds, which I didn't really watch. I didn't watch The Wizard of Odds. The fact that he was also the host of Double Dare, the original one.
Which had nothing to do with kids or anything, right?
It was just adults. Just
yeah.
Yeah, I've never seen the original Double Dare.
Yeah, there's a ton of just like crazy game, like just like random game shows you've probably never heard of that like Alex Trebek hosted before, like Jeopardy.
Yeah,
like he hosted the pilot episode of Starcade.
Yeah, and then he just like, it's like that was the second pilot they did, and they just went, didn't make sense for kids for Alex Trebek. Mm-hmm. I didn't all know this, but he was also the host of Battle of the Stars, like the second iteration, just watching movie stars and TV stars do Double Dare games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, long line of TV hosting, just being on TV, and it's strange. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so RIP Alex Trebek. It will, like, game shows will never be the same, and Jeopardy will never be the same. Like, I think there's preliminary talk of, like who could replace Alex as like the host of Jeopardy, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's too soon for that. It's just, yeah. Like, who knows? Mm-hmm.
I believe he filmed enough episodes to last until Christmas. So last Jeopardy episode that hosted by Alex Trebek is going to air on Christmas Day. But,
sad Christmas.
Yep, sad. Just gather the family for one last Jeopardy game, and then we'll figure out what the hell they're doing. But, moving on to more upbeat news. I think we talked a couple months ago about the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger was going to be in his first ever TV show. It was some sort of untitled spy show that one of the guys who made like Scorpion is like one of the showrunners on it. But we learned this week that that show is going to be on Netflix. Netflix has scooped up the rights to that show. It still doesn't have a title. It's still an untitled Arnold Schwarzenegger spy show. It's Nick Santora, who's also the one of the showrunners on the upcoming Jack Reacher show for Amazon. So I'd imagine this will probably have like a sort of like. Maybe like that sort of vibe, I guess. And Arnold's going to co-star with Monica Barbaro, who's going to play his daughter. She's in Top Gun Maverick. And it's a father-daughter global spy adventure show.
I'm down for it. It's like Burn Notice, maybe.
Oh man, yeah, that'd be great.
But then it'd be strange for him to try to like act like he's not a spy or not wherever he is. Because that's the thing with Arnold things. They always explain why he has an accent.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be like, oh, where are you from? Like, oh, Texas. Like, yeah, right.
I kind of want this. I don't think it definitely is not. But like, if this is like a True Lies sequel or something. Like,
ooh, sign me up.
Yeah, Arnold is like the new like head of the what was it, Omega Sector? Or how the group is.
I mean, again, True Lies is one of those things where there's such great potential storytelling for just goofy spy things, but they just keep messing up.
Yeah.
Didn't they try two times for True Lies and just like no one wanted to watch it?
Like for like
TV?
Or any official like True Lies like
really?
Spin-offs or anything.
I thought they tried a True Lies TV show. It didn't work. And they basically made like another True Lies, but like it didn't work because it was too modernized and just didn't have any charm and no one knew who the hell was in it.
I mean, I guess there's been like, I think there's been like some sort of like, there's been like kind of like True Lies-esque stuff. Like, like what was that like USA show? Like Covert Affairs or something? Wasn't that sort of like,
Covert Affairs was like a drama.
Yeah. And then what was that one with like the couple that like, oh, that was kind of more like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, like that like J.J. Abrams show that lasted like one season.
Yeah, that's another True Lies type show. And I can't tell, like it just started blending together. And I guess I just pushed the True Lies like further and further from ever being like an idea. Yeah. I thought McG was going to make a True Lies show. Yeah, I just.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, they've talked about a sequel since 1997, but like nothing ever really came about from that because like James Cameron made Titanic and then like now he's just like in the world of Avatar, so like but yeah, I mean, but yeah, if this like new show has some of the vibe of True Lies, then yes, 100%. Sign us up. I mean, we're obviously gonna watch it anyway because it's Arnold. It's a TV show, so hopefully it lasts longer than Jean-Claude Van Johnson, too. R.I.P. But yeah, I think so. Yeah, no title, no release date either. So I guess just keep an eye on your Netflix coming soon, Netflix queue, and then obviously if we get more like definitive info, we'll talk about it when that comes up. But moving on to some other news, there was a lot of weirdness happening with the Wizarding World / Fantastic Beasts / Harry Potter franchise this week. So very early this week, Warner Bros. Basically forced Johnny Depp out of the third upcoming Fantastic Beasts movie, I believe because of all the just insane messiness that's happening with him right now as far as like legal court cases and all that can of worms.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, he basically left. I think the thing that like he filmed one scene of that movie and then they had still have to pay him $10 million.
He showed up, put on the blonde wig, and they're just like, "Well,
yeah,
here's your paycheck.
take this $10 million and leave."
You know, it was smart enough to just give him royalties or something. Mm-hmm. Like you don't need to give him $10 million straight now, but. Give him like.
I wonder if he had one of those like. I wonder if he had one of those like. Oh, a bunch of people have those like pay or play contracts where it's like even if like, it falls through, they still get paid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that makes sense with him because as much as people love or hate him, like you know he's still an actor that has a pedigree.
Mm-hmm. But then after that news about Johnny Depp leaving, shortly thereafter, we got news that apparently Mads Mikkelsen might be in talks to take over for Johnny Depp as Gellert Grindelwald.
Okay, I'm not.
I've not seen either Fantastic Beasts movie yet.
First one's okay.
Okay.
I'm going to say that. And then I've seen part of the second one, and it kind of undoes some of the first one. Because mm-hmm. The charm about it is that, like, whatever his name is, like, Newt.
Newt Scamander, yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of like this, like a Peter Parker type guy. Mm-hmm. That, like, he's not a magic, you know, baby character that's not just born into greatness. Like, he kind of has to, like, figure shit out, and, you know, he relies on his friends and kind of the belief that, you know, doing good is the right thing, and, like, people will follow you in doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, a nice story that isn't just, you know, oh, he was destined to be, like, the great one. You know, it's like, I'm tired of those kind of stories. So Fantastic Beasts did a good thing with the universe. Problem is that, like, they keep hinting toward the prophecy of other things, of just, like, you know, the rise of Voldemort, or, you know, in this case, you know, the Grindelwald, and then, you know, don't worry, it'll take care of itself in the end. Like, all this shit gets solved later.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And then there's, like, young Dumbledore.
Young Dumbledore's not that bad. He's, in the first movie, it's like, it's nice, but the second movie, it's in your face.
But, yeah, I mean, Mads Mikkelsen, obviously awesome, so I'm sure he'll do a good job of, like, taking over that role.
Yeah, I'm not worried about him. I mean, the thing about that character is that he can change his appearance, and it makes sense that it's just like, I'm Mads Mikkelsen now. Yeah, that's like character change.
Yeah, that's like a one line, like, just rewrite quick. Just like, I used, like, a polyjuice potion, or I used the spell. Now I look like this because everyone was looking for my other face. So now I'm this face. was it a Simpsons joke? Like, anytime something like that happens, a wizard does it.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I guess keep an eye out for, I guess, Fantastic Beasts 3 is still on, and I'm not sure, are they doing is it just going to be a trilogy, or is it just going to keep running into the ground until it's like, I think they said it was going to be like a trilogy of Fantastic Beasts movies, right? I believe is what their plan was. Although I think they're definitely not doing, as well as, like, any of the Harry Potter movies. Like, have not done, like, anywhere close to, like, Harry Potter levels, but, like, they're still, like, pretty good, like they're doing, like, globally, I think they've been doing pretty well as far as, like, box office, but
they're not, like, gangbusters of what it used to be, or Marvel level.
Yeah.
You know, before even Marvel was Marvel, like, it was Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
And Star Wars. So it's like, you know, everyone kind of loses a little power.
Mm-hmm. So, other news, some pretty bizarre news coming from The Rock. Apparently he's going to reboot The Scorpion King.
Does he know they made other movies?
Yeah, does he know there's like 5 movies in that series?
And they're all, like, sort of related?
Yeah, I think it's, like the second movie, Scorpion King movie, is, like, a prequel, but then the rest of them are, like, sequels, I think, and they're still, like, building up to, like, him becoming, like, a crazy, like, world-conquering monster. And then, like kind of throwing more, like, mummy things in, like, I think, like, the Book of the Dead shows up in one, and he gets, like, the weird, like, amulet, like, the, like, scorpion amulet on his wrist in, like, one of them, I think.
Well, he gets it again?
Well, he gets, like, you remember, like, Mummy Returns, like the son, like, Evie and Rick's son, like, gets, like, that thing on his wrist.
Right, the like, weird hologram projector.
Yeah, so I think in, like, the third or fourth Scorpion King movie, like, he, like,
they explain how he gets it.
Matthias, like, gets that or something from, like, someone. It's like, this here's a powerful artifact. Like,
but then he doesn't use it in the first movie. In fact, he doesn't even have it in the first movie, because all the other movies are the prequel movies, right?
Well, I think the second one's a prequel, and I think the third, like, the ones after, like, I think after that, they're, like, actual sequels to, like,
the first one. I thought they were all, like, prequels leading to the first movie.
Yeah, the second one's definitely a prequel, because it's like Matthias's Scorpion King's father gets, like, murdered, and he's, like, trying to, like, take out the guy who did that or something.
Honestly, I think we should just watch them all, and
probably
then,
yeah,
you know, tell The Rock what he needs to do.
I was just like flipping through, like, the Wikipedia page for all of them quick, and, like, man, those movies have just like the most bizarre casts. It's just like random MMA people, and then like random people, just like people's wandering. It's like Kimbo Slice and Billy Zane. They're in the same movie. Like,
whoa.
Or like it's like
Kimbo Slice. I get Billy Zane.
Yeah. Or it's like Rutger Hauer and Randy Couture.
People that would never hang out together.
Yeah. Dave Bautista's in one. Ron Perlman's in one.
I think I saw the Ron Perlman. He was the one who's like an evil king.
Michael Biehn. Barry Bostwick.
What? The Boz?
Lou Ferrigno.
I think he was also an evil king.
Yeah.
If it's like a big guy, it's usually the evil king character.
Like it's pretty like it's always just like there's like another like just evil king guy.
It's always an evil king. I remember the Randy Couture one was an evil king.
Well, I think Randy Couture was the evil king, and I think he was like the guy that like killed like the father. But throughout all that continuity
duct tape plot lines they did.
Yeah, because apparently. What The Rock wants to do is The Rock is executive producing this one. He might appear, possibly, maybe, but like, apparently the plan is like to bring it to like the modern day. So like, Dark Universe thing, this thing where it's like it's gonna be like a modern day Scorpion King movie.
Maybe it's like a great descendant of Matthias, and it just looks just like The Rock again.
Maybe, or maybe like maybe a guy, maybe some like it's gonna be like some sort of like mercenary guy or something finds like. A Scorpion King artifact or something and becomes like the Scorpion King or something.
I'm okay with this concept that like the movies are canonical and then like the Scorpion King is like this entity that you can summon. So he summons like not the horrible scorpion monster rock guy, but they summon like Matthias back and he's like, hey, you found my thing. Wear this, and I can go rest, you know, go back to where I was, and now you're the new Scorpion King. And, like, I'm okay with that. That's like, a decent reboot. But if they're going to pull this... Yeah?
I was going to say, like, the weird thing, though, would be, like, if it's like, the full continuity that includes, like, the Mummy movies, obviously, the Scorpion King movies exist in, like, the Mummy universe, because the Scorpion King movies came out of the Mummy universe. It's like, so, if you're summoning, like, the Scorpion King, it's not going to be, like nice Matthias from like the Scorpion King movie. It's gonna be like crazy Scorpion King monster from like Mummy Returns.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I don't want that because then it's like you have to like explain that. That's why I'm like your best bet is just be I'm Matthias. I was a Scorpion King.
Yeah.
Don't look that up. Also, honestly, I did not expect the Scorpion King to be a legit scorpion. That was so goddamn dumb.
Yep.
But. The concept was cool, you know, this warrior does it for the right reasons, but like it backfires. Cool.
It's army of demon Anubis dogs.
Yeah. Just bad follow-ups. And then they really did not use the Mummy license for anything else. Like all the rest of the movies don't reference anything else, right?
I think like the Book of the Dead shows up in one of the like Scorpion King sequels and stuff.
But that's like you don't get to copyright that. That's just like you get everything is a Book of the Dead. That's literally an Necronomicon.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like they really weren't like, oh, this is like a descendant of Rick O'Connor or something. They just, you know, they really not use that.
Yeah, I would definitely be like, if they did like some sort of like Easter egg to like the Mummy movies, like it's like, oh, it's like the. Rick and Evie O'Connor Museum or something, or like the wing of this museum, and it's like the Scorpion King artifacts are there. Yeah,
very subtle, and that's all you have to do. But you know, lately for these reboots or continuations, soft reboots, they just really just go hard on it. They just like, oh, what are you talking about? That never happened. Yeah, Scorpion King, but now it's a Scorpion Queen.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully whatever this is it's better than the Tom Cruise Mummy. That's all we need. That's all we ask for.
It's not a hard thing to pass, you know?
Yeah.
That's the sad thing. It's like, oh, just don't do the Mummy. The new Mummy.
So yeah, so I guess we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see what happens with this. Someone should probably call Godsmack to probably have them start writing a new song.
To wake them up. I don't know where they've been.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Godsmack also needs a reboot.
So we also got some news this week from two different movies that are both apparently like being inspired by Speed. So Liam Neeson, for one of his new action movies, he's going to be starring in a movie called Retribution, and it's going to be a spin on Speed. He's a businessman who finds out that his car is wired with a bomb, and then if like there's some sort of like an unknown person like calling him, and then the person calling him basically is forcing him to do like these series of jobs or tasks, and if he doesn't do them, he'll blow up the car.
That he has to do just from his car.
I'm assuming maybe the guy will like let him leave the car for like some tasks, but it seems like he's really like mostly like Liam Neeson in his car on the phone, like probably maybe like phone booth meets Speed, where it's like he's trapped in this vehicle, but like on the phone with like some random assassin person.
It kind of reminds me of like Transporter 2 or 3.
Yeah, which I mean, he let Frank like leave the car.
But he had an electric bracelet that could explode.
He couldn't get like a certain distance away from the car or it would blow up. So
that made sense. You know what I mean? Like that. How do you do that? It's probably gonna be like, oh, we put a bomb like in your clothes or something.
Yeah. Oh, and also like Liam Neeson's family is gonna be in the car with him. So that's probably like another like incentive. Like, you can go do this task, but if you don't do it, or like tell the police or don't do it, I'll blow your family up.
That makes sense then.
Yeah. And it's going to be directed by Nimrod Antal, who directed like Armored and Metallica Through the Never and Predators.
Okay.
So, so this one's no release date yet on this one, but possibly coming soon. It's kind of weird because like Liam Neeson was like, oh, I'm retired from action movies, and it's just like he's made like how many action movies since then? Like five.
Like it's been like he said that after Taken 3, and then after that it was just like every year he's been making like one action movie. You're like, come on, Neil, you're just lying to people.
Like Honest Thief is out in theaters right now. And I think maybe on video demand as well, but like you can see a brand new one like right now if you want.
This movie that, you know, he said he wouldn't do, but he did.
Yeah. And then the other kind of Speed-inspired movie is coming from none other than Michael Bay. Jake Gyllenhaal is going to star in a Speed-esque movie called Ambulance. which, not really any sort of, like, specific plot details about this one, but... It's basically it's saying it's inspired by 90s action thrillers like Speed.
Yeah, they just don't want to say it is Speed, but like it's like Speed.
And there is, I believe, it's a remake of a Danish movie called Ambulancen, which was about like two brothers who steal an ambulance as their getaway vehicle for a robbery. So I'm assuming maybe that'll probably be a similar. Probably this one will probably be pretty similar. So like just like Jake Gyllenhaal and someone else possibly like hijacking an ambulance and like driving around like like Los Angeles or wherever this movie takes place.
I mean, if you've ever been to Los Angeles, like you can't go fast. It's pretty funny because in Speed they point that out, that you can't drive like a normal route downtown. That's why half the movie is like trying to get to the highway.
Yeah.
But an ambulance, like, oh Jesus!
I guess you could turn on the siren, I guess, and just fly through like stoplights and stuff
if you have to chase.
Yeah,
I mean it's fine. It's an interesting concept. It's fine that they both do something a little different, other variation, because that at least gives it a chance to be standing out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm interested in seeing Michael Bay's take, even though it could be kind of awesome or the worst thing ever, just based on like his like recent like catalog of things. Because like Six Underground, pretty fun. Transformers Last Night, a crime against humanity. Wow. So.
Well, that's why Bumblebee is like a little bit better, I think.
But he had nothing to do with that. So. and also like Jake Gyllenhaal has been like has done some I feel like he could like we could get like some like maybe like Nicolas Cage and The Rock esque stuff from him where like Michael Bay is like we'll just like let Jake Gyllenhaal go crazy.
Just let him box like Southpaw.
Yeah. But yeah, look forward to both of those speed-esque movies coming soon. And then we actually have a bunch more or a bunch of sequel news for movies this week. So apparently, Bloodshot 2 is on the way. Everyone's favorite Vin Diesel movie from this year.
That doesn't have him drive a car.
Yeah, one of the biggest movies of 2020. Because it's like the only movie of 2020, but
it's like the last movie that came out in the theaters, next to like Sonic.
Yeah.
Yeah, like March in the movie theaters was like Sonic or Bloodshot.
And like Onward for like a week, because it was like Onward came out like, and then like it was like I think it was like literally that weekend like everything shut down.
Ah, okay.
So. But yeah, I think Bloodshot 2 or Bloodshot did very well on VOD. So like that's kind of like the driving force behind Bloodshot 2. So, yeah, I guess like Vin Diesel will be back as Bloodshot and more nano powered adventures.
I guess
there's pretty much no plot details or. Directors or anything like it's just like, yep, we're gonna make another one.
It's like even their surprise, like we didn't know either.
Yeah,
I don't know. As a fan of the Valiant stuff, I'm more of a Ninjak now. Mm-hmm. I would love a Quantum and Woody movie.
Yeah,
I dedicated like a year learning about Harbinger and then all the other like. Characters that are like the mutant equivalent.
Yeah, I would definitely be much more interested in Bloodshot 2 if they were like, we're also gonna add like some other Valiant
cinematic
character
universe.
and then spin them off into like their own thing. It's like, oh, Bloodshot has to fight Ninjak now or something.
Or he has to fight Archer and
Armstrong. Yeah,
Armstrong, or he encounters like Faith.
Exo Manowar.
Holy shit. How is Exo Manowar not a concept? Like, as soon as Iron Man was the thing, it's just like, alright, well...
Exo Manowar is Iron Man and Thor combined.
Exactly! It's just like, okay, well, let's get ahead of the curve. People are obsessed with armored characters that... I mean, the only thing is that, like, he's not suave. Like,
yeah.
Exo Man is still, like, a weird Norse man who... He's like a caveman, right? Yeah, he was like... He was a Roman soldier.
Well, not even like Roman. He was like one of those like it's. I think like he was sort of like a Spartacus, where he was like not Roman, but like the other ones like forced him to like fight for them, or like try to conquer his land. Like I think he was like a barbarian like fighting against Rome or something.
So he's kind of like Conan in that sense, that just got armor, but like he still has tendencies that make him like both. Like futuristic and then just like savage, but he's really tamed.
Yeah,
I'm just like, how is that not a fun character to explore? But I mean, Exo Man, everyone thinks of like the 90s run where he just was trying to like listen to like rap music and then trying to be hip with the kids. Like it's an embarrassing era for Exo Man stuff. But I do like the modern Exo Man stuff now that delves the fact that that guy is like thousands of years old.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so maybe hopefully maybe you like we'll we'll get some sort of hint of like the bigger Valiant universe, because like that was the whole thing of like the Bloodshot movie was like it's like that was like the really the first movie of like the Valiant cinematic universe. So
it just took like a nap on it.
Yeah.
Well, I was hoping that'd be like a cinematic story that, you know, a universal story that like he's just one part of it. Mm-hmm. But he was like the only thing, and then he would just fought like more experimental people than anyone that was like a mutant or a supervillain. It was just like people with guns,
cyber soldiers. Yeah.
Like not even cyber. It was like just slightly enhanced.
Yeah. So we also found out that there's going to be a fourth movie in the Blank Has Fallen franchise, the most unlucky franchise of all time. So Gerard Butler's going to be back as Mike Banning, the world's greatest Secret Service agent, for Night Has Fallen. And then Rick Remenois, who directed Angel Has Fallen last year, is going to be back directing this fourth entry. No plots about like what the threat is this time. Like spoilers for Angel Has Fallen, but at the end of that movie, like Mike Banning was he got promoted like the head of the Secret Service, so.
Because he's also like old now.
Yeah.
So I mean, I didn't see the Angel Has Fallen. I feel like I don't need to see it because like he was blamed for trying to kill the president with a drone strike.
It was basically they basically just made The Fugitive or something. It was very much like one of those like wrongfully accused on the run fugitive movies. Like it has all the tropes of those too. So, but it was fine. Like it was like a decent like it if it showed up on TNT one afternoon and you started watching it, like you probably wouldn't be disappointed in it.
But was Morgan Freeman killed, or he just like didn't do it?
No, he was good. He somehow became the president, which I don't think they didn't really like. There was an election between London Has Fallen and Angel Has Fallen, I guess, and then Morgan Freeman became the president. Because obviously it was like Aaron Eckhart in the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's basically like they get like attacked by drones that like. Dive bomb and like kill everyone except for Gerard Butler and Morgan Freeman, and then Morgan Freeman's like in critical like condition in a coma, and then everyone's just like, oh, your DNA was at the drone control panel, Mike Banning, you're the person who did it, even though you were on like a boat with the president. And yeah, it's basically like he has to go on the run and like clear his name and figure out who is actually behind everything.
Right.
Yeah. I don't even know what they could possibly do anymore. Like, and what does Night Has Fallen mean?
I'm just thinking, did like the United States government just drop itself? Like, it's like, oh, the president, and it's like all the senator figures, and it's like, well, there's no more government, and it's like, oh, he's like the purge.
it's gonna be designated survivor.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, somehow all the cabinets are gone or whatever, and now it's like, because you're the head of Secret Service, you're the president. Like, what?
That, I mean, that'd be an interesting twist.
I feel they would have been like two movies ago. Why is it like now? Yeah,
I would like maybe hope they would go back to like make it sort of be more like Die Hard, like the first one, like because the first one is obviously the best one. London Has Fallen was like that. I think they tried like they tried to do way too much and like expand it way too much. It was like, oh, like every world leader in London got blown up. It's just like, what?
But it was just London though.
Yeah. I think they were trying to do a sort of like a Die Hard with a Vengeance, maybe of like, oh, now it's the entire city of London. It was just the White House the first movie. Now it's all of London. And then Angel Has Fallen was like, it's like the back roads of America.
That movie looked like it was made on a budget for
Oh wait, Angel Has Fallen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the budget was significantly lower than like any of the other two.
I looked at that movie and just the trailers, I can really tell that it was mostly going to take place in the woods.
There's a lot of woods stuff, yeah. what was it? $40 million budget, and it made $69 million domestic.
Nice.
So it did fairly well. It made enough to like warrant a sequel, obviously. So
I guess people just want to see how it like it sends off, but it's like getting the wrong message. And it's like more, okay, well, more.
Well, like who knows if this could be the last? If this one does well too, like they'll probably just keep going.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I see. Like it just like people are seeing it just because like they just want to get to the end and it's like, oh no, you want more.
Yeah. But yeah, get ready. So another Mike Banning adventure is coming in the near future here, so keep an eye out for that one. And then A Quiet Place 3 is on the way as well, although A Quiet Place 2 has still not come out. Hopefully that'll be next year. But A Quiet Place 3 is coming sometime in the near future. John Krasinski is not going to direct this one. It's based on an idea he had, but it's going to be written and directed by Jeff Nichols, who kind of indie sci-fi indie director. Like he directed like movie like Midnight Special and Take Shelter, both had Michael Shannon in them. He also directed that like Matthew McConaughey movie Mud.
Mm.
So yeah, definitely. So probably this will probably be like his like most like big like biggest budget, most high profile movie so far. It'd be awesome if Michael Shannon, if he like got Michael Shannon to show up in this franchise. But yeah, I think like we have no idea even like what to like think, because 2 hasn't come out yet. Like if 2 had come out this year, like we'd be like, oh okay, like we can like figure out what they're trying to do from like after the second one, but like we have no idea what the hell happens in the second one yet, so. Which hopefully that's going to be April 23rd next year. It's supposed to come out in like March and then September this year. Well, yeah, that's pretty much it for movie sequel news. And then we also got a couple bits of TV news. So The Outsider over HBO was canceled after one season. Which is weird because Stephen King said they're writing scripts for season 2. So it's
not going to them now.
Yeah, apparently no one told Stephen King that like they were gonna cancel it. They are shopping it to other networks, so it could show up on like maybe like a Netflix or a Hulu or something like that. But yeah, HBO is not going to move forward like a second season of The Outsider.
How strange, because it was decent. It wasn't like no out of the HBO shows, like Castle Rock is ambitious that only pays off for people that stick with it, right? But The Outsider was like a nice like entry into the Stephen King storylines that didn't require a lot of like follow through.
Yeah, it like the cool like kind of the interesting about The Outsider is that it starts out as a very like straightforward like True Detective style show where it's like, oh, we got like there's like child murders and stuff. We got fair who's going on, but then it's just like, oh, there's like weird. It gets like weirder and weirder as it goes on. Of like, oh, there's definitely like something supernatural going on with this case. Like it's not just like a straightforward like weird killer. It's like the killer is like a thing or something. Like
I honestly, when I watched like the first 2 episodes, I forgot it was a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
It's so subtle, and then it just not anymore, but maybe because I'm not paying attention as deeply, but I definitely remember the, there's like, oh, Stephen King, this is like from Stephen King. I'm like, wait, where's the Stephen King? Oh, there's the Stephen King part.
Yeah. So yeah, so hopefully maybe someone else will pick that up and keep that going, because that was like, yeah, definitely one of the best like of the new King of Sons that we're in. Like that was definitely one of the best projects that came out of that. So we also got official confirmation this week that Umbrella Academy season 3 is underway, or will be underway in February, But we are officially getting a third season of Umbrella Academy over at Netflix.
Good.
And also, some quick news about WandaVision. So Disney Plus / Disney officially confirmed today, I'm recording this, which is actually the first anniversary of Disney Plus. Disney Plus was out for officially a year. Which it feels like it's always been with us, hasn't it, Chris?
It has. Just like things we watch, that the releases and the timeline of us just being quarantined made it seem like it's been around for a while. But
yeah,
man, it's only been a year and it just doesn't feel like it at all.
Yeah. But yeah, so WandaVision is officially going to be on Disney Plus on January 15th. I think it was a teaser like a couple months ago that like was like, oh, it's going to be 2020, like late 2020, but now yeah, it's officially January 15th on Disney Plus. The first MCU show on Disney Plus. And every bit of new news about that show makes it just seem weirder and weirder.
Yeah.
Like every episode's going to be like a different style of sitcom.
And like it's like, what is Wanda doing this herself just to make her feel better?
I think that might be the kind of the idea is like she's like create alternate universes or something, trying to like that like has Vision in it still or something maybe. But yeah, it's like the first episode is gonna be like Dick Van Dyke show, and then it's gonna be like one of them. And it's gonna like progress through like the decades, like each like it's gonna be like a 70s sitcom, an 80s sitcom, and a 90s sitcom, and apparently like, the first episode has like a live audience. It's like to like match like the 50s style of it and stuff. It's like it's gonna be bizarre and crazy. So that's pretty much it for news this week. So why don't we jump over to show and tell? And Chris, did you see anything over the last week or so here?
I have. I saw just a bunch of weird movies. If you think okay. about the collection. So I saw Borat 2 finally.
Yep.
I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. Way more plot driven than shock, like candid shock value than it used to be.
Yeah, it has the plot is much stronger, but then it also like it doesn't have like maybe it doesn't have like as like strong or like as like crazy set pieces as like the first one.
And I think the candidness of the found footage set, not found footage, but like the interview and just like first person shock, you know, of just the raw reality of Borat is kind of missing. They try a little bit, but it doesn't feel the same because even the unscripted parts feel a little bit scripted.
Yeah. I think when his daughter is solo, I think you get more of like the original Borat stuff because like people like don't because like everyone recognizes Borat even like even when he's in his costumes, like I'm sure people are just like, oh, isn't that the guy who played Borat? Like,
and they're like on their guard because he's yeah. suspicious.
But his like Maria Bakalova, who plays like his daughter, is like she gets like an introducing credit in this movie, so it's like she's like pretty much unknown to anybody.
Yeah, yeah, US, which is fine because I like her character. I didn't think I like her as much, but she's like it. She develops in a really good way for the story.
Yeah,
I do like the Borat that is like the new parental. You know, like he's more of he steps up in a way.
Yeah, like he has a very like it's a very like surprisingly sweet arc.
Yeah,
to, like where he grows to love his daughter.
So I enjoyed that, and I love it when you know it feels like a complete story. So it kind of ties in with the reality of Borat. It ties in with the meta story, and it ties in with like what the movie's trying to say. You know, like a political film, I would say.
Yeah, it's definitely much more political, much more focused on like specific things than like the first one. The first one was just like sort of like a general like America's crazy.
Yeah, and it's like I love that movie for what it was too. And this movie tried to add in a political angle, and I didn't mind it, but it was like, all right, it wasn't as heavy-handed as some people were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, okay, cautious about it, but like it didn't make me run out and just be like, you know, liberal everything, freedom, like. It was just more like pointing out the hypocrisy and then the stupidness of just having these hardcore political stances and whatever. Mm-hmm. So kind of fun. Like I kind of want to see the footage that couldn't make it in. Mm-hmm. Cause you know, they probably have like an extended version coming out later. Also weird that Amazon Prime doesn't own the first Borat movie. You have to get it through the Stars version.
Yeah, you would think like if they're making Borat 2, they would like get this, because like you'd assume people would want to watch the first one again before they watch the second one. But how's it's like, well, do you have what did you say, Chris?
Stars.
Cinemax? Stars.
No, yeah. Stars. Yeah. Yeah. Cinemax. So, yeah, I just like, you know, I'll probably wait one day when there is like a Blu-ray edition or a collector's edition. It's both movies. Mm-hmm. So I'll wait for that. Also want to know what happened to some of the characters, like his black wife that he had in the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
She just disappeared. I was like, oh, I kind of missed that character. Mm-hmm. And then I saw two movies that are just doesn't fit in well with anything. So we'll talk about it real quick. I saw the movie Swallow, where it's about this woman who has really no, she's like this newly married housewife, young, she's a young girl who gets married and then is adjusting to this like posh isolated lifestyle where she's living in upstate New York and she's away from her family and friends. And this rich guy is providing her everything. It's just that she has nothing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everything's taken care of. So she, out of just like subconsciously, develops pica, the desire to just eat stuff, like mm-hmm. random things. And then she gets pregnant. Like she's pregnant and then she's having these like issues. And then her in-laws find out and her husband finds out like about this, where it's like, oh, you keep swallowing like all these things like batteries, pins and stuff, and it escalates from her like eating just like small things to like deadly things like a freaking screwdriver, and she's choking and going to the hospital. Like she goes to the hospital like twice and she keeps promising that she won't still stop, but then she keeps eating things and then it's like, oh my god, you can't stop eating this shit. So the movie really explores like the repercussions of, you know, and then the consequences and like what leads to people developing these like mental illness. And it starts out with a good message. And this is where it's like artsy about, it's a very artsy film. It's shot really well. It's just like, I hate the character because I'm not sure if it's intentionally acting, but holy shit. You're just like yelling at your TV to like, stop eating this, stop eating that. like at one point she eats dirt. Like she is like, oh, she escapes from her husband's family and like the house and she just runs away. And then the first thing she does is fucking like check into a hotel room, just eat a handful of dirt. Like I guess it's like a drug thing. They're kind of like show, but I just was not in the right mind to like give it the dramatic effect. And I was just like laughing at it. I was like, oh my God, this girl. It won independent awards, you know, I guess for the cinematography and for some of the acting, but it's not a movie for everyone. You know, it's a movie that I caught it on TV and just like, oh, like, cause I read the description. I was like, you know, girl develops pica and I was like, okay, I'll see this interesting movie. Mm-hmm. And it takes like, I thought it would be a while for her to do it, but it's like maybe 20 minutes in for the, like an hour and a half movie. And it's just like, it just, 3 days, like she's eating all this garbage. Like, it's not like a slow thing where it's like she's picking at like, you know, her hair and then she eats the hair, or like she eats like dust or something. It's just like it goes from like, oh, I like the way this marble feels in my mouth because it reminds me of candy, and I'm just like, eat candy then, you know, like why are you eating a marble? And then it just escalates to like a jack, into like pen caps, batteries, like paper clips. And then her stomach is all messed up. So, like, that's how then when they do, like, a scan on her and they do, like, surgery, because they're like, you have so much, like, garbage in your stomach. And, you know, it's frustrating. It's like, I get the mental illness part, but the family responds in, like, the hilariously dumb ways. Like, they hire, like, this, like, rough in-home nurse that is not really good at his job. And then
she requires all these things, like, oh, like, I want to have some freedom, like, you need to trust me. And then it's like, they trust her, then she, like, literally just goes to the bathroom and eats a battery. You're like, god damn it, like. So, it's a fun character study, just to see, like, this unfold. Visually, the move, like, the poster drew me in first, because it's really, like, almost looks like a Nicholas Van Ruffin. Yeah, it's very, it's shot well, lit well, but you know, you're just like, what? Like, I don't know. Did not expect half of it to go that half the way. It's more of a drama, I guess. Yeah. So, and then I followed it up with another movie that I thought would be okay, like a nice palate cleanser. Literally, of like, okay, I saw a movie about something being swallowed. Maybe I'll watch something like an action movie. So on Amazon Prime, it recommended me Retaliation, this Orlando Bloom movie that I thought was new. But okay. I was tricked. I was horribly tricked. This movie's cover is Orlando Bloom with like a beat up face holding a sledgehammer. And it's like every cliche action, modern action movie, like straight to DVD action movie that you've seen where it's just like.
Oh yeah. I think this literally came out like 2 months ago or something.
Yep. It came out in July. So I've just been sitting there. And the description is just like Orlando Bloom is in this thriller movie. And like, that's the description. No fucking, there's nothing else in there to like think of what the plot was about. But based on what I saw for the first 20 minutes, I was like, oh, maybe it's one of those, you know, guy sees something horrific, he doesn't say anything initially, and then he like, you know, decides like, oh, I gotta step up because no one else will, like a Harry Brown type movie, mm-hmm. or like, you know, like a Death Wish, and then, you know, he decides to go solve it himself. I am so wrong. The movie did not go that way. It's all about this guy who works construction. He does have a sledgehammer, though. And he has a lot of, like, subconscious anger. And it's mostly because he had a traumatic childhood experience that he had. And the movie takes its goddamn time to slowly explain what happened to him and then how he deals with it. And I guess I'll spoil a lot of it because it's just the whole plot is like, it has to do with like an old childhood trauma from a church experience from this priest mm-hmm. who comes right back to the town. And then like seeing the priest triggers him to like lash out on all of his loved ones that like, hey, like what's wrong with you? And he's like, like, I don't want to talk about it. And then, he does get beat up, but that's because there's another priest in town that used to be like a mobster type guy, and he became a priest. And like, Orlando Bloom just doesn't like priests, so he just like takes out his frustration on this one priest who, I don't know, like is the better out of everyone. Like he's the better character because he has that actual other new priest is like more of a like relatable, and then also like he's trying to be better about his past and do better things. Meanwhile, Leonard Bloom's character is just like, I yelled at my girlfriend today because like I have all these feelings, and you're like, all right, well, why don't you talk to someone? It's like, I don't know. So I guess the movie, that's the thing about the movie, it's like, what's the retaliation part? You know, it's like, it's either retaliation or redemption. There's none of that happening for the longest time. And then I guess near the end is like the third act where it all ties together and it still does not connect. Like it just, everything about the movie, about like the tension, the buildup, the characters, like they're just like forgotten. Like it just, the characters that you think are going to come back and play like an important role are just gone. I don't even know what happened. The movie just doesn't address it anymore. So like, for example, he has like a best friend that I think kind of knows this, like what happened to Orlando Bloom, but doesn't mention it to anyone else. Orlando Bloom's character's girlfriend, like, doesn't know, and I guess she doesn't care to know anymore because she's like, well, I'm kind of over how dramatic this is. Mm-hmm. And they don't, and then their scene is like, their last scene in the movie is them talking about this, and then you just never see those characters again. Like, they just never go back to that, and you don't understand how much time has passed or whatever. Yeah, and then Orlando Bloom just confronts the the priest that really caused his problems. And he's just like, yeah, man, like, I'm over it now. Like, both of them are like, yeah, I'm over it. Like, huh? It's super not what the cover is selling. I was like, what did I just watch? Like, I thought this would be, even if there was a religious overtone in it, which there is, I thought it would kind of tie into something, you know, something more explosive. And there isn't. It's really is more just a drama, like way more of a drama than a thriller. There's no thrills. The thrills are just kind of like, where's the plot going? Oh, it's like every 10 minutes they sort of hint at things, but there's never like a coherent plot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I looked up online. This movie was made in 2017. It was released in the UK. It did mediocre, like very average in the UK, and it was called Romans. I guess it's because it's about like the Roman Catholic beliefs, and then that title made way more sense. And then also, the box art or the cover art of that movie makes way more sense too. It's not even what they even put on the box of Amazon. Like on the original cover, it's like him, like Orlando Bloom holding like a demolished piece of this angel that he was trying to demolish from the earlier in the movie, because it's like his whole thing was like breaking down his old beliefs and stuff. And then the cover made more sense, and I was like, yeah, if I saw that cover, like, I would understand what I'm going in for. Like, I was so mad at this box art because it lied to me so well. And that's why I'm like they knew. I think Amazon knew, like, we don't know how to market this. And then they got me to watch it to add to their count. And I'm like, how do I take this back? How do I, like, get my view back? So stay away from that, thinking that it's an action movie.
Okay.
Oh my god, I was so mad at that movie. Still am. It's just like, I didn't bother learning any of the characters' names, because they don't really talk in that way where it's like, hey, John or Jim. It's just nothing. So, yeah. Just now I want to fight Orlando Bloom.
You'll be an hour and a half of my life back.
Yeah. Again, if I had to compare the two, Swallow was a more interesting movie, because at least that made me feel things. Retaliation just made me mad. I'm like, I think I'm watching the wrong movie.
Mm.
What about you, Zach?
Well, I guess speaking of like childhood trauma and general drama. I finally saw The Haunting of Hill House. The entire season. Not the new season, like not Haunting of Bly Manor, which is the new season that came out this year. I was behind, and I hadn't seen the first season yet. So, finally got around to seeing that. It's pretty fantastic. Definitely, if you're a fan of Mike Flanagan stuff, like it's got all of his just shot amazing. Like he directs every episode, and so yeah, just like shot amazingly well. There's some cool. He starts doing like as he goes on, like because it gets more, like the haunting stuff gets more intense as it goes on, and he starts throwing in some of the cool like Oculus stuff that he was doing, like where like kind of like things start like interacting with the past and the present start like mixing and stuff, and like there's like things start affecting other things, and like so. Definitely a fan of that, and everyone in the show is great. Like fantastic cast. Definitely, especially like Carla Gugino and Henry Thomas and Timothy Hutton. I think this was like the kind of the big like return of Henry Thomas, like.
Hmm.
Because he disappeared for, like, decades after E.T. And then, kind of, like, he hooked up with, like, Mike Flanagan. And I think he's, like, appeared in, like, every Mike Flanagan movie.
Was he also, Henry Thomas also? He was in Alien Prometheus, right? Like, the other one. The sequel to Prometheus.
I don't think so. No. Sure? He wasn't in any of the Aliens movies. He was in the newest one.
He was the guy that was religious in the Aliens movie.
No. He wasn't in any of those. He was in his last couple movies were all like Mike Flanagan movies, like Ouija Origin of Evil and Gerald's Game and Dr. Sleep and.
Huh. All right, guess I'm wrong about that one.
Yeah, I don't know who you're thinking of, Chris, but. Fun to have Henry Thomas back. He's fantastic. Everyone else is fantastic. Shot amazingly well. Like the set, like the actual Hill House is just like an amazing set and just like amazing like creepy mansion with like a lot and like a lot of like it definitely like you can definitely see why like Flanagan like got picked to like direct Dr. Sleep because like. Hill House and like the Overlook Hotel are basically like very similar sort of like entities where it's like it like feeds on like the like it feeds on whoever lives in there or whoever's like inside the it like and then like there's a lot of like if you die there then you're trapped there as a ghost and then it just wants to keep adding people to like it's
like a it's a true haunted mansion.
Yeah.
Also, I was thinking of Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup.
they look
pretty similar. Yeah,
they look similar.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely. If Hill House is definitely worth checking out. If you're a fan, like if you want to see some good drama mixed with like cool ghost haunted stuff. It's definitely dealing with personal issues as there is ghosts, but it's still interesting and a really good Netflix show. Very excited to watch like Bly Manor now, even though I've heard Bly Manor is maybe not as good as Hill House.
I heard that it's way more, like, formalic because it follows Taming of the Shrew.
Yeah.
I learned that from Red Letter Media's review of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so, Haunting Hill House, great, check that out. Then I also watched Undisputed, the first one, because I think I'm gonna try to watch all of them because I definitely heard like especially like I think 2 and 3 especially are because they're Scott Adkins / Isaac Florentine team ups and I've heard like they're like both those movies are like actually like pretty awesome as far as like boxing mixed martial arts action movies like they always get like brought up as like some of the best like Scott Adkins movies but I never saw any of them so I figured I'd start with like the first one and watch that one.
Yeah, I never seen the first one.
Yeah, I think it didn't do well in theaters. Like it was a kind of a box office bomb, but then like it kind of became like a cult thing or like a home video DVD kind of like success. And that's why there's like 3 sequels to it now. But yeah, the first one directed by Walter Hill, who you know directed like The Warriors and 48 Hours and all sorts of other classic movies. And then obviously Wesley Snipes, Ving Rhames co-starring in it, and they're the two like guys facing off in like this prison boxing match. And it was actually the inspiration for the first one, or at least like the character of like George Iceman Chambers that Ving Rhames plays was Mike Tyson.
Oh, okay.
And
what if Mike Tyson did an underground boxing rat?
Well, there's basically I think it was like Walter Hill and like a screenwriter were like basically having lunch and they were talking about like Mike Tyson and they were also I think at the time like he'd just gotten like convicted for rape and sent to prison and they're like what would it be like if like the world heavyweight champion of the world got sent to prison and then what would it be like in prison for like this like the baddest man on the planet like
ugh, scary
Which that's like one of the cool kind of subversions of like the prison genre in this one, because like usually in like a prison movie or like or if someone gets sent to prison, like even if it's like John Clever Dam or something, they always get like it's like they have to learn the system, and like they might get like beat down by the guys to, like run the prison or something. But here it's just like Ving Rhames shows up and just like immediately he's just like running the prison basically, because he's just like no one can stop, like he's like one punching people in the face, and like he's like he's the world heavy champ of the world, like he just like beat them down and he just like beat anyone down. He's also like just like he's just crazily intimidating, so it's like he has like no problems whatsoever in prison. Like his only problem is that like this old gangster played by Peter Falk, aka Columbo, wants to like have him fight like there, because like there's a underground or like inter prison boxing league going on, and like Wesley Snipes, Monroe Undisputed Hutchins is like the champ of that, so Columbo, Peter Falk's basically like, I want to see Monroe fight Chambers. And then like
just because,
yeah, because I'm a huge boxing fan, and he's also like this like mafia don, or like this former mafia don. It's like he has like all these, like, he's basically has like all these like connections and all these like guys on the outside, guys on the inside that like can like just like they all are like working to like basically like set up this one match for him basically, and like he wants it to be like this like very specific like set of rules, like it's like London prize ring rules, so it's not like current day boxing. It's like this like kind of like older style boxing where like if you get knocked down, like that counts as a round, and then like the round ends. Wow. Like the guy has like six seconds to get up, or the fight's over. So yeah, and kind of the weird thing about this movie too is like it doesn't really get to like be like what you expect from like a boxing movie until like maybe like an hour in, like you don't get any sort of like training montage or anything like that until like almost an hour into the movie. Like the first hour is just sort of like just Ving Rhames in prison just like hanging out and like just dealing with like his lawyers dealing with like prison stuff. Huh. and then we're gonna have the fight.
Well, since we're here, might as well like box while I kill time for trying to escape. Also, like, what did Wesley Snipes do to get a prison again?
I believe he was an up and coming heavyweight fighter, and then I believe what happened is that he came home and found like his girlfriend or his wife cheating on him, and then he like beat the guy that was she was cheating on him with like to death with his bare hands.
Mm.
So it's sort of like a Con Air situation where it's like the judge is like, because your hands are registered as lethal weapons, we're charging
you. Should have known better.
Yeah, we're charging you with like a life, like life in prison without the possibility of parole. So you get a lot, like there's a lot of like, it's the pacing is kind of like, yeah, a little bit weird, because it's like they don't really get into like the boxing, like typical boxing stuff you'd like expect until like almost like more than halfway through the movie. But yeah, it's pretty solid. Like it's solid, like if you're like, a solid prison boxing movie. A lot of fun side characters, like character actors as well. Like Wes Studi's there as like he becomes like Ving Rhames's like trainer, and then like or like manager, or like sort of like corner guy, and then like Fisher Stevens is like Wesley Snipes' corner guy. Michael Rooker is like the main like prison guard.
Oh boy.
So yeah, definitely if like a solid like boxing movie to check out. I definitely want to see 2 and 3. Those are definitely coming up on my list soon here. Because two is like Michael Jai White basically takes over, but he's the same character as Ving Rhames, but he's just like, but now
still
it's Michael
in
Jai White. Yeah, like I think what happens is he goes to Russia for some sort of like Russian boxing tournament or like boxing matches, and then he gets framed for having drugs, and so now he's in like a Russian prison, And now it's like MMA, and he has to fight Scott Atkins, who's Yuri Boyka. But then Scott Atkins becomes the main character for 3 and 4. So
I mean, I do like that it does continue, but the Undisputed title doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. But yeah, but Isaac Florentine directed 2 and 3, and then I think the last one came out like in like 2017, which the last one's called Boyka Undisputed. So now it's just like fully like Scott Atkins franchise now.
Yeah, but I'm not even sure like they're still making anymore.
No, Boyka was the last one. So there hasn't been one since like 2017, which
the normal Boykas.
Yeah. So I'm gonna continue the Undisputed watching, and then I'll come back and let you ever know how they are. I've definitely heard 2 and 3, especially are the two best ones. So
I think I saw 2 because that Michael J. White one is pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I've seen clips of it a lot, and then. The Scott Atkins fights are pretty cool because Scott Atkins is like that's when like it was after Kickboxer when he started taking over one of those things. I'm trying to think when did Scott Atkins really start coming more notice.
Well, he did like the Ninja movies, and then he did Undisputed, and then he did like Expendables 2, and
well, it was like before Expendables 2. He did like the second one. He did the Undisputed 2.
Yeah, he might have just done like Ninja 2, because that was also Isaac Florentine. So I think they might have done that one together, and it's like, oh, now we're gonna do like Undisputed 2 now.
Right. Okay. Now, so it was Undisputed 2 was 2006, so right before Expendables, and then Undisputed 3 was Redemption, mm-hmm. was the one where
that's right after the first Ninja.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Okay, like, it's around that time. Like, I definitely remember Undisputed movies, because then it's like when they were talking about Universal Soldier, it was like, Scott Atkins from Undisputed. Like, what?
Yeah.
What's Undisputed?
So saw Undisputed, and then the last movie I saw is I saw The Blob, the original Blob from 1958, which is still on Criterion Channel. I think it got added in October as for some of their like Halloween entries, but it's still up there if you want to check it out. But yeah, obviously a horror sci-fi classic. The debut of Steve McQueen. It was his first movie ever.
And he plays like a teen, and he just does not look like a teen in that movie.
Yeah, I mean he was born in 1930, so this was 1958, so he would have been like almost 30 years old. he definitely compared to like some of the other people who are playing teenagers in this movie, like it's definitely this like I don't know, Steve McQueen, like maybe like if everyone's in like high school, like maybe like he could be maybe like the guy who's like in college or something, but like he doesn't seem like he's the same age as like some of the other like punks, his like friends who like drag race and stuff. Like,
yeah, it's weird when I'm looking at that because it's like Steve McQueen, he looked older, and I always think like this movie came out after like the Great Escape, but it's like no, this is before, and like how he looks the same age.
Yeah. But yeah, the Blob is fun. The Blob, like, I mean, obviously it's classic. There's a lot of like fun stuff. There's definitely like there's not as much of the actual Blob as you think there is in it. Like there's like you see it like a you see it, I think probably just because of like maybe how like difficult it would be to like really to like get it to do what you want. Like you're like shoving like silicone through like holes and stuff. Like it's probably hard to like make it like look and act like the way you want it to act. But like, There's definitely a lot of like, just like off screen, just like, oh my god, there it is right there. It's the Blob.
Look at it.
Or like the camera pushing at someone like screaming, and it's like, but like, and they're like getting eaten by the Blob, but you don't see it. Yeah, I mean, definitely the remake is definitely the one. If you want to see like the Blob actually just like going like, if you want to see a ton of the Blob, like the 80s remake is the one where like you get to see like a ton of just like people getting devoured by the Blob, like getting dissolved and stuff.
Yeah, I definitely grew up with that one.
Yeah, which is, it's also it's kind of interesting too, because like I feel like the Blob and the Thing are like very like they have like definitely like similar like trajectories or like similar like kind of like things where like both the original and the remakes are both great or like really good, but like the tones of like the remakes are both like drastically different from the originals, because like they're both like the Thing, like John Carpenter's The Thing, and like the 80s like Blob are both like way darker and way like scarier and way like way more intense than like the originals.
Yeah, I feel that it was the 80s era where they're trying to compete against slasher movies, so in order to stand out, you have to really intensify the atmosphere. Like, especially the mood lighting. That town was already, like, a horror movie before the Blob like, kicked open the doors. Like, you know, that town was ripe for just a monster to roll in.
Yeah. Yeah, like the 80s version doesn't have like a Burt Bacharach theme song like the first one does. Like that's the first thing you hear like when you watch like the credits. It's like this like crazy super upbeat theme song for the Blob. Where it's just like, it's the Blob, watch out, it's the Blob.
Oh my god, really?
Yeah, it's like a Disney. It basically starts with like a remember like the theme song for like the Cure wore tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically that style of like a theme song for the Blob. It's like, oh my god, it's the Blob. So, yeah, definitely a much lighter tone than the 80s one. But yeah, lots of fun. 50s-ness, like the theater scene is like a classic scene where like everyone's like running out of the theater and like the Blob's like oozing through like the back of the theater.
I think the remake doesn't do a good job of that scene. It's like more in the theater than the people running out.
Yeah. But the remake does a lot of you definitely see like, because like in this one you don't really ever see like the Blob, like you see it on like you see it like on the original, like when like the old man like gets it on his hand and it sort of like takes over. It's like kind of like the most you see is like it goes like, up to like his shoulder, and then you kind of just like there's like, oh no, it absorbed him. You just see the Blob of the Blob.
Right.
But then like the remake is like when the Blob like swallows someone, you see like their like their face, like, and then you see like them like dissolving into skeletons.
Yeah, they're like
and stuff.
Screaming,
yeah,
inside of it.
Yeah,
it's way more intense. That's why it's like hard to go back to the original Blob after seeing more modern Blob like movies.
Yeah, and it was all about like the like in like the remake, like the Blob was like a biological weapon created by like, the Soviets, I think, or something, or like to like use against the Soviets or something. And definitely a lot more backstory in the remake. The original one is just like, oh, a meteor fell to Earth and the Blob came out. And then some old man poked it with a stick and it jumped on his arm. But yeah, if you never seen it, definitely worth checking out. It's a obviously like a 50s horror classic. And yeah, it's on Criterion Channel right now. If you have a Criterion Channel. So, yeah, so that's it for me this week, so we can probably wrap things up. Definitely have our site. We have all of our regular stuff up there. You can still check out our Nightmare on Elm Street commentary. It's up on the site still. And then we're going to have a new commentary for November coming up pretty soon here, so keep an eye out for that. And all of our regular features up there, up on the site as well, so head over and check all that stuff out. And for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action.
You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.